Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
For the vast majority of single heterosexual men, the thought of approaching an attractive woman with a high degree of sex appeal excites us and motivates us. Any man who is single and heterosexual wants to share the company of a desirable woman in a romantic and/or sexual manner. With that in mind, what if you found yourself in a scenario where you approached a woman, let her know that you wanted to share her company in a romantic or sexual manner, but instead of simply being rejected, this woman told the police or some type of security officer that you were harassing her, threatening her, stalking her, or making her feel extremely uncomfortable. Even worse, you found yourself brought up on charges and thrown in jail. Sound extreme? Well, tonight I'm going to be speaking with a young man from India who found himself in this very scenario. He flirted with a woman with his eyes and then subsequently approached the woman in order to ask her out for a date. Instead of the woman either reciprocating his interest or simply rejecting his interest, this woman contacted security personnel and ultimately the police, and this young man had to do 7 hours of jail time before being let loose. Tonight, I'm going to open up my phone lines and conduct another one of my open forum discussions, and I am going to converse with this young man from India as this jaded and frustrating young lad will be communicating with me all the way from his home country of India in order to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, Mode One. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Thank you.
gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, February 21st, and tonight, all of us have our pet peeves. We all have our pet peeves. And if you've read my four books that I have out, you probably know what at least two or three of my pet peeves are. Specifically, my last book called The Possibility of Sex. If you haven't read that, please go to Amazon right now. If you're a single heterosexual male, please pick up a copy of The Possibility of Sex, How Naive and Lustful Men Are Manipulated by Women Regularly. And I basically describe 9 types of women that I just generally do not get along with. Now, there's a lot of women I do get along with. There's a lot of women I love, a lot of different types of women, I would say, that I get along with, I like. But, again, my last book deals with the 9 types of women that I have major criticisms of. I divide it into 2 parts. Part 1 describes 4 types of what I refer to as time wasters. Time wasters. And then part 2 highlights and goes into detail about 5 types of women that are what I refer to as just simply no good women. No good women. And one of the groups of no good women, one of the categories, I should say, of no good women that I talk about is women who are misandrists. See, a lot of people are not familiar with that term. A lot of people are familiar with the term misogynist, which is a man who despises women, has a high degree of disrespect for women, just generally hates women. But not too many people talk about misandrists. A misandrist is the female equivalent to a misogynist. That's a woman who just, at maximum, she hates men. At minimum, she just has a certain degree of disrespect for men. She doesn't really respect them as human beings. And as you know, I do a lot of besides being a book author, I'm also a dating coach. I do consultations with men. I do one-on-one coaching sessions with men. And I don't get these stories very often, but when I do, it just really irritates me. It really irritates me. And what am I speaking of is a situation where a man, and particularly a client or a student of mine, approaches a woman to let her know that he wants to share her company in a romantic and or sexual manner. And instead of that woman either just simply reciprocating his interest or rejecting him, she takes it a step further and contacts security, or contact somebody who's in charge of whatever venue she's at. Or at minimum, she might try to spread bad rumors about you, saying that you're stalking her or that you were acting like some kind of creep. At maximum, she contacts the police and tries to say you were harassing her and threatening her and making her feel uncomfortable. I will offer a brief disclaimer. There are some crazy motherfuckers out there, okay? I'm not discounting those types. I'm not discounting the fact that you have guys that are just crazy,
and probably will go up to a woman and just start groping her tits or groping her ass or, you know, doing something that genuinely would make a woman feel uncomfortable and make her feel threatened. So there are a small percentage of men like that. But there are a number of other men who are just normal, well-adjusted men looking to hook up with a woman, either for a long-term monogamous relationship, long-term non-monogamous relationship, a short-term monogamous relationship, or a short-term non-monogamous relationship. And I feel like any man should be able to express that to a woman in a very confident, direct, and straightforward manner. But you got some women out here who, again, instead of reciprocating a guy's interests or rejecting a guy's interests, I'm cool with either option, they lie on men, they exaggerate and embellish how that man approached them. I've had it happen to me. It's not just my clients. I've had it happen to me. I've had women that I've approached and I said X, Y, Z, but then days later or weeks later, or months later, I'll hear from a girlfriend of that woman or some other acquaintance of that woman that all of a sudden I said A, B, C, D, E, F, G, X, Y, Z. You know, they will add on stuff to what I said, they will modify stuff that I said, and it just bugs me. This really irritates me. And the most recent scenario I had that I heard about related to this topic and why I'm doing this show is that I had a client of mine, a supporter of mine from India. He lives in India. He was at a doctor's office, and he made flirtatious eye contact with a woman who was a doctor. And then a few minutes later, he approached her and let her know that he wanted to take her out. Now, in my mind, at that point, she could have either said, yes, I'm interested in going out with you, or she could have said, no, I'm not interested in going out with you, either or. But what she did instead was she contacted her colleagues, she contacted security personnel, ultimately the police got involved, and this young man was thrown in jail. He was thrown in jail for 7 hours. He spent 7 hours in jail just for approaching a woman in India and telling her he wanted to go out with her. I think that's unbelievably ridiculous. I think that's unbelievably ridiculous. So that's what we're going to talk about. If you're fairly new to listening to my show, you know that I generally do two types of shows. I have the vast majority of my shows, I have an invited guest here who I talk to, you know, might be an author of a dating relationships book, some kind of dating expert, dating coach, seduction guru, etc. And then I have what I call an open forum discussion. And what that simply means is, even though I might have people on the phone line I may be talking to, open forum discussions are mainly for just my general listeners to call in and express their thoughts, their opinions, their perspective on whatever given topic that I've designated for that episode. So you, the listener, if you're listening to me live, I want you to call into my show throughout the course of this episode and let me know your opinion about the general question I'm asking tonight is, do many women have extreme and highly inappropriate reactions to a man wanting to hook up with them romantically or sexually? Do many women have extreme and highly inappropriate reactions to men approaching them and wanting to hook up with them romantically or sexually. I want to hear from you throughout the course of the conversation. I love all my listeners. I just mentioned my live listeners. I love all my listeners, but I have a particular love for my live listeners. My live, I've been having a lot. And starting with last fall up until now, I've been having a lot of live listeners. Matter of fact, I would say this season, I probably had my highest number of live listeners of any season I've been doing my show. Because typically, 95% of my listeners are archive listeners, people who listen to the show after it's already been recorded. That's the bulk of my listenership. But starting with around October, November of last year up until now, I would say that percentage has gone down. I would say it used to be roughly 5% of my listeners would be live listeners, 95% would be archive podcast listeners. Now it's more like 15 to 20% of my total listenership is live listeners, and about 80 to 85% is archive podcast listeners. So I appreciate you. I thank you for listening to more and more people listening to me live. I got love for my chat room listeners. I only see a couple of my chat room faithful. I know for the women, scandal's on, so they don't like to miss scandal. But I see my good friend and number one listener, Diva362636. She is talking shit already in the chat room. Yeah, her Miami Heat are blowing my Chicago Bulls out of the building. I ain't gonna lie. They at the United Center, and they putting on an ass whooping. Right now it's 74-58 in favor of the Miami Heat. And I don't even want to watch that shit. Bullshit. I don't watch that fucking game. I don't want to see us losing to no damn Miami Heat. I mean, I got respect for Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, but beyond my just congenial respect for them, man, fuck the Miami Heat. Yeah, I said it. I said it on air. Fuck the Miami Heat. Shit. I'm a Bulls fan to the day I die. That's right. Six championships, baby. Six champions. Six world championships. Chicago Bulls. Diva calling me a hater. Yep, you damn right. I rarely hate on people, but I'm a Miami Heat hater. I am a Heat hater. What's that song similar? I'm a girl watcher. I'm a Heat hater. I'm a Heat hater. Become one now. No, again, I respect them. As people, I respect the Miami Heat. As athletes, I respect them. But just on a purely egotistical, competitive basis, man, forget the damn Miami Heat. Man, I can't wait to Derrick Rose. Speaking of Derrick Rose, though, Derrick Rose, older brother, came out and spoke. He said he's mad that the Bulls have not made any aggressive trades to enhance the personnel that would surround his younger brother, Derrick Rose. I thought that was very interesting. He's criticizing Bulls management. He's basically saying, I don't think my brother can lead the Bulls to a world championship with the personnel you have there right now. So, Diva said Charles Barkley told Derrick Rose's older brother to shut up. Wow, I didn't hear about that. Okay, interesting. I'm going to have to do research on that. But anyway, I got, yeah, Diva362636 is in my chat room. I got another user, Follow Me is in my chat room. Follow Me is in my chat room. I got a couple of guests. Other shout-outs would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. My younger cousin, J.P. Jones of Chicago. His birthday is today. Happy birthday, J.P. Jones. That's my younger cousin in Chicago. Other younger cousins would be Athabar in Maplewood, New Jersey, Christopher Curry in Detroit, Michigan, Philip Pulliam, and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam, the third, EVP3. in Seattle. In Seattle. Seattle, Washington. That's right. EVP3, match one in the house. Other shout-outs would be Vanessa Lee, Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, all the women in my female supporters group on Facebook, Jesse Patton, my good friend from high school and college. Talked to him today. He's my friend who loves motorcycles. He just, man, has so many motorcycles. He can open up his own motorcycle shop. That's how many motorcycles he owns. And a few other shout-outs. Belarco Bernarji, Michael Elam, Sasha Daygame, a few other guys. I can go on and on with my shout-outs. Indiana is still number one. That's right, college basketball. The Indiana Hoosiers. I can't brag about the Bulls, but I can brag about the Indiana Hoosiers. That's right, Indiana Hoosiers. They swept Michigan State this season, even though Tom Crean doesn't like playing against Tom Izzo, because that's his boy. He used to be assistant coach to Tom Izzo. So those two are real tight. So they both said they hate playing against each other. They hate coaching against each other. But IU did win. And so, but there's a lot of Indiana products on Michigan State. So you could call them Indiana Junior or something. Shoot, they got like three or four Indiana products. See, Indiana, man, we produce a lot of good basketball talent. There's an article that came out today asking the question, speaking of my home state of Indiana, is Indianapolis racist? They said in the last few years, hardly anybody goes to Indiana Pacers games. They said ever since that big brawl, I don't know if you remember that big brawl involving Ron Artest, well, now he goes by Meta World Peace. He used to play for the Pacers. And him and Ben Wallace of the Detroit Pistons, they got into a fight, led to this big brawl. And they said ever since then, the fans have diminished, and the Pacers, you know, they rarely have a sold out game, with the possible exception of the playoffs. And some people, one particular writer, attributed it to racism. So that's interesting. That's very interesting. What else? Anything else to do? Another thing to do with sports. Two cornerbacks in the league had a Twitter battle. Richard Sherman of he's a cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks. EVP's neck of the woods. And then a guy named Darrell Revis, anybody who's a football fan should know Darrell Revis. He's arguably considered the best cornerback in the league. And they got into a war of words over each other's talent, each other's accomplishments, and basically who's the better cornerback. Richard Sherman said his stats put Darrell Revis' stats to shame. And Darrell Revis was basically like, young man, you ain't even on my level, dude. You're not even worth me mentioning your name. I'm in another stratosphere. So I found that interesting. That's the competitive egos of athletes. The competitive egos of athletes. Tiger Rounds got knocked out in the first round. So he's no longer in the tournament. Oscar weekend is coming up. I want to say Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. Sunday, Oscar. You know, I'm a big fan of movies. And so I will be watching to see who takes home the statues. I love my favorite movie of the year. Somebody was asking me, Alan, what was your favorite movie of 2012? Well, depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about just purely like entertainment, I would have to say my favorite movie was The Dark Knight Rises. I saw that movie, get ready for this, it's going to blow some of you away. I saw that movie 9 times. Not one, not two, not three. I saw that movie at the movie theater. 9. That's actually my personal record. My previous record was 8 times. I went and saw a movie called Heat with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. Heat. I saw that movie 8 times at the movie theater when it came out in late 95. But yeah, Dark Knight Rises, I saw that 9 times at the movie. So that was my favorite movie overall. Now, as far as what I would call an Oscar-caliber movie, even though I thought in many respects Dark Knight Rises was an Oscar-caliber movie. But I would have to say Argo. Argo, man, that was a good-ass suspense thriller. That was a good movie. Ben Affleck, he directed that movie. That was a good movie. I saw that twice. That's a really good movie. So if I had to say I'm pulling for a particular picture, well, no, it's one of two pictures I want to win. I thought Django Unchained was a damn good movie. You know, it had a lot of controversy that surrounded it, but that was a damn good movie. I saw that twice. So yeah, I want one of those two to win. I want either Argo to win or Django Unchained to win. But yeah, I saw a few good movies in 2000. Skyfall was good. I thought Skyfall, the James Bond movie, that was a good movie. There's a few good movies out. So, yeah, a movie I just saw recently that I thought was really good, that the critics said was a bad movie, but I loved it. This movie called Identity Theft with the woman who stars on Mike and Molly, Melissa McCarthy. Man, that movie is laugh out loud funny. Laugh out loud funny. Yeah. See, my boy EVP wrote me. He said, that's right, Hoosiers are number one. Hoosiers. That's right. Hoosiers. Hoosiers. Oh, see, Diva's still talking shit. She's saying we ought to just go ahead and concede because we're losing by 20 points. That's cold, Diva. I'm going to remember that. Okay. See, I'm putting it in my mental notebook. I'm going to remember that smack talk because when we get our revenge on you guys, you watch. Yeah. But anyway, I'm waiting for a guy from India. He's supposed to be calling in via Skype. I don't see him in my phone queue just yet. But I want people to call in. Men, I would say specifically single heterosexual men, I want you to call in and talk about an incident that you experienced, or maybe it might be a friend or acquaintance of yours experienced. A time when you approached a woman, you let her know that you wanted to connect with her on some type of romantic level or sexual level, and instead of her either just simply reciprocating your interest or rejecting your interest, she went as far as to, like, call security on you if you were at a public venue. She got the police involved, you know, something of that nature. Now, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you, men. I want to hear from you, men, who have a story of that nature. Right now, I'm going to take an intermission break, but when I get back, hopefully my phone queue will be lit up and I'll be ready to talk to a few people. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and/or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. If you're just tuning in tonight, talking about a subject that actually irritates me. It bothers me. I would say sometimes it just downright angers me. And that's the scenario, and women won't be able to relate to this, but men surely will. Not all men, but some men. It's a situation where, say, you approached a woman somewhere in public, like either just walking down the street, or you approached a woman like at a nightclub or a bar, restaurant. And say you approach that woman and you let her know you wanted to hook up with her romantically or sexually, that you wanted to share her company. Instead of her saying, "Yes, I'm interested in sharing your company," or "No, I'm not interested in sharing your company," at minimum, one of these two to three things will happen. Scenario one would be this woman goes and tells girlfriends of hers and acquaintances of hers that you were very disrespectful to her, you were, you know, rude to her, and she just starts painting this picture like you're this creepy guy, potential stalker guy, or if not a stalker guy, like just a major horn dog type guy. And you're left feeling like, okay, what the fuck is the big deal? I just approached you and let you know I wanted to connect with you, and now you've made a big deal out of it. That's kind of the minimum scenario. The maximum scenario, or worst case scenario, would be, say you approached a woman in a nightclub, and again, instead of her just telling you that she's not interested, she goes and gets one of the members of the security team, and they give you a hard time. They might even throw you out the club. Well, I got a guess that I'm going to be speaking to in just a moment. He wrote me a note. He lives in India. He actually got thrown in jail. No, I'm not making this up. He got thrown in jail for like 7 to 8 hours for simply approaching a woman and letting her know he wanted to share her company. Instead of her saying, you know, no, I'm not interested, she went and told her colleagues. She told security personnel at where she worked. The police got involved, and he ended up being thrown in jail. And that bothers the fuck out of me. So, you know, I'm not going to use his real name. For the purpose of this show, I'm going to call him Lance. That's going to be my nickname for him tonight. Call him Lance. And so, listeners, on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, I want you to welcome a man who's going to be opening up to me, and I applaud him for doing so, and he's going to be sharing his story. And again, he's contacting me all the way via Skype from India. And so please give a welcome for Lance.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Lance, how you doing?
I'm okay, man. I gotta go out in a couple of hours. It's early morning here, and I gotta go out with music for what happened in the last couple of days. But, you know, things are okay. I am hoping for the best things. I'm hoping for something nice to come out of it.
Okay, now, I know your whole story, but I want you to start from the beginning and share with my listening audience what exactly happened with you.
Well, basically, you know, I was at this hospital with my mother, and we were both, actually, I've got a little bit of problem, a little bit of sports injury in my knee. I've been working out heavily, so I got my diagnosis, and my mother was basically still getting her diagnosis, cut the long story short. I was just sitting around. I saw a doctor. She was cute, right? Mm-hmm. And I just walked up to her. I said, you know what? We should get together this weekend. She says, why? Like, we'll have a bunch of fun. We'll just get a cup of coffee, see something. And she's like, get lost. She's very rude, but I'm thinking, that's okay, right? Some people are just rude people. So I go back to my seat, and I sit down, and I wait for my mother to come back. Now, less than a couple of minutes, you know, the chief of security, maybe not a couple of minutes, 5 minutes later.
Wait, you kind of breaking up, Lance. So sometimes your voice sounds crystal clear, and other times it's kind of garbling. So whatever, if you're moving, please don't move, or if the mic is moving that you're speaking into. Because, yes, sometimes you're very, very clear, but other times my audience is not hearing. So just to recap, in case my audience didn't hear when your voice started breaking up, you were in a hospital with your mom, and while you were there, you saw an attractive female physician, and you approached her and told her that you wanted to share her company in the near future, and she said, get lost.
That's right.
And you didn't continue to persist any longer. You just kind of left alone, went back to your seat. And
yeah.
Then what happened when you went back to your seat?
Now, after that, maybe about 5 minutes later, the chief of security of that hospital, he approaches me and he tells me that I need to step into his office. So that's the next thing I know. The chief of security comes up to me, he tells me I need to step into his office. And go there, I mean, I really didn't know that those two things would be related. You know, the thought did cross my mind, but I didn't think that could be such a huge deal, right? Anyways, I get there, and I meet the senior physician. This must have been her boss, right? The senior doctor. And he asks me very angrily, what did you say to her? I said, to. He's like, to her. He points at her. I said, what is it to you? He says, I'll tell you, punk. I'll teach you a lesson. So realizing that this might actually blow out of proportion, I told him. I asked her out. She was not interested. And I walked away. That's what happened. That's all that is that has happened, right?
Okay.
And he tells me that he's going to call the cops because I actually harassed her. He said, I mean, he just started getting angry and throwing phrases around, like, how dare you ask her out? How dare you ask her out for a coffee? And, you know, that man was basically very angry because I asked her out. It was as
wow.
if I had harassed her, you know? And there's a bunch of people around me. They're all looking at me as if I've molested a woman or raped a woman. And they're looking at me with that kind of hatred in their eyes. Now, he tells me the chief of security, to make sure that I do not leave the building. So I go back to my seat and get seated. Right? And in a couple more minutes, my mother arrives. She signals to me that she's ready to leave. And I, start walking with her. And we walk out the door. Now, this is where it gets interesting. As soon as we walk out, must have been at least 30, but it could have been more. Security personnel, they just run out of the building, and they circle us. And the chief of security, along with a bunch of other guys, maybe 5 or 6 other guys, they physically manhandle me and my mother, and they pull us back in. My clothes get torn in the process. And they pull us back in. They rough us up. No explanations were offered. No apologies were offered ever. They pull us in. Once we're inside, now, you know, I'm the center of attention in this big government hospital, in the public institution. Once we're inside, my mother is hysterical. She's crying. She doesn't even know what's going on, but she's begging and pleading for them not to hurt me, you know. She's asking them don't hurt my son. And I'm just basically trying to calm her down, but I'm not being able to get to her. And they pull me in and they seat me in the same spot that I was sitting. Fine. They make me sit there while my mother is running around trying to find out what happened. Now she's inside with that senior doctor and that female physician. And what I understand, even though she hasn't spoken to me directly ever since that happened, but what I understand is that she was begging and pleading for them to forgive me. So basically, by default, everyone, including my own family members, assume that I had done something wrong. And that fact hasn't changed so far. Now, I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm sitting around, I'm pretty sure that as soon as the cops arrive, they tell everyone that there is no legal, there's no legal case, or there's no legal, there's no legal method to punish someone for asking someone out.
Well, see, that's what I was going to, that was going to be one of my first questions, is that, because whenever I hear stories that are similar to this, like I remember some guy, I was on a message board, and some guy from London wrote me and said that he saw a buddy, either it was a buddy of his or just a casual acquaintance of his, had approached a woman. He was mode one with her. And all of a sudden, he got thrown out of the club, the nightclub. And my first question was, what law did he violate? And, or what, even what policy of that particular nightclub did he violate? Because to me, man, nobody can accuse you of exhibiting improper behavior unless they made it specifically clear what behavior is appropriate versus inappropriate. And I've never known it to ever be considered illegal or even unethical to approach a woman and let her know that you want to connect with her romantically or sexually. Now, I'm speaking for the United States, though.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know about a lot of other countries. So let me ask you, and I have some, I've had clients, and I still to this day have students that are from India, although they now live in the States. And they have told me different things about, like, a couple of them told me that casual sex is very frowned upon in India. It's not like it's illegal, but it's very frowned upon. Is that the deal? What is kind of, if you don't mind, give me kind of a general explanation of the dating culture in India.
Here's the deal. Up until about 10 years ago, there was no dating culture in India. I mean, people just did not date each other. It was with the rise of multinational companies and the call centers and all these big IT firms that young people started going to work, young men and women started working together, and they started dating one another. But as of now, as far as the parents and the elders in the society are concerned, there is no dating culture. You know, you're supposed to sit down and wait for your parents to find you a nice, suitable life partner, and then, you know, perform a marriage. It's a deal that your parents are supposed to engage in, negotiate, and basically arrange for you. You get to know your partner after you're married to them, not before. But that is changing. Casual sex may be frowned upon, but millions of youngsters are engaging in it right now. But this is a country of over a billion people, right? So that's a very small percentage. And that's the state of affairs. It is frowned upon, and even the women that do engage in it frown upon it a lot more than women from United States or from Europe. I mean, things may be changing, but they're not that evolved yet. So I didn't go in for, you know, consenting sex or anything like that. I went in for a cup of coffee. That's what I went
in for. And see, that's what blows my mind, because as you know, if you're familiar with my history, you probably know I've had some approaches that have been very X-rated, triple X-rated in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you know what's interesting, though, now that I think about it? And I've told people this at different workshops and conferences I do. When I think of the times that I've approached women and said something to them that was really super-duper bold and triple X-rated, that's when I've rarely had drama. But when I was more conventional, like you were in this instance, that's when I've actually had a few instances of drama. Matter of fact, I talked about one episode of that probably about 3, 4, 5 episodes ago on my show. I forget what we were talking about. But I was saying, the subject of sexual harassment came up. And I used to work at a 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, the movie studio in LA. And there was this one woman, she worked in another department, and she would always drop by the department I worked in, just kind of to chit-chat and, you know, lollygag. And I always thought she was attractive, but I had never, the first few times we interacted, I never really, you know, made an advance or anything on her. But then one day, you know, I said, hey, you know what? I think you and I should hook up sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And she just kind of looked at me. She said, hook up, huh? I said, yeah, I think we should hook up in the next 2 to 3 weeks. She said, that's interesting. Let me get back with you on that. And she left. I didn't think nothing of it. Next thing I noticed, the first thing I noticed is that she didn't come back around. Because she usually would drop by maybe, I'd say, an average of once a week, sometimes twice a week. But I didn't see her anymore. Then I ran into a girlfriend of hers who worked in her department. And I said, hey, I haven't seen so-and-so around. And she said, oh, you are so lucky. I said, what do you mean I'm so lucky? She said, between me and you, do you know my coworker wanted to charge you with sexual harassment?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, get the fuck out of here. I thought she was literally joking. She said, no, I'm serious. She said, fortunately for you, our boss thought it was ridiculous and thought it was a baseless charge. So he didn't, you know, act on it. But, yeah, she wanted to charge you. She basically went and told him that you had sexually harassed her. And it's mainly because, she said, where are you from? I said, I'm from the Midwest. She said, well, you may not know, but out here in California, when you say the words hook up, that's like saying I want to fuck you. And I told her, I was honest with her. I said, well, actually, I do want to fuck her. I said, that's the reason I do want to hook up with her. I didn't want to hook up with her to watch TV show. And she said, well, Al, I don't know if you know, but in the work environment, you can't, not only can you not just go up to a woman and say, I want to fuck you, but even if you go up to a woman and say, I want to hook up with you, that's considered almost by some the same thing as saying, I want to fuck you. And I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, again, luckily for you, our boss thought it was kind of silly, so he didn't, you know, proceed forward on it. But, yeah, she left your office, like, you know, uncomfortable. So I was just like, wow. That, like, blew my mind. But anyway, enough about me and my stories. I'm still on your story. This is tripping me out. So you didn't even use any X-rated language. You didn't tell her she had a nice ass. None of that. You just said, I would like to hook up with you for a cup of coffee. And she said, get lost.
That's it. That's it. That's all that happened. And then she walked away and I walked away in separate directions. And, you know, the next thing I know, we have this full-blown out Sydney opera, for lack of a better phrase. Anyways, the cops arrive and I was pretty sure that as soon as they arrive, they'll hear my part of the story. They'll ask her to verify it. And they're going to tell everyone that there is no possible way that they could charge me or book me with anything at all. So the cops arrived, I told them my part of the story, and she told them whatever she wanted to tell them. And I don't know if they verified or if she told them what the truth was, but they came out and they told me that you need to sit down, we are going to charge you with something. Now, I've got a lot of problems going on at the same time. The first problem is that the cops, they're not willing to listen to me or rationalize with me. No one is basically talking to me like a mature adult. Everyone is behaving very emotionally in the situation. Everyone is getting angry, including the cops. They got angry at me, but you know, none of them hit me. So my mother was very emotional. She was crying. She was pleading with the cops now to actually take care of it or to, you know, just consider the fact that this would put a blemish on my record, on my so far unblemished record. And would create a criminal record for me. So she's pleading with them. And one of the cops, the investigating officer, he tells my mother that basically that was what he intended to do. He intended to destroy my career. That's what he
wanted.
That's what he told her.
Wow.
His words. The exact phrase he used was, "This is exactly why we are here. This is what we are going to do."
Man, that's amazing, dude. That is like, that's like fucking unbelievable.
Well,
so this guy had malicious intent. He wanted to blackball you forever for going up to a woman and asking her out.
That's right. He asked me, "Who the hell do you think you are? Are you Salman Khan?" Salman Khan is a big name celebrity in India. He's like, "You think you're Salman Khan? And you can just go up to any woman and talk to her. Why did you talk to her?" I tried to explain to him a couple of times that I just asked her out for a coffee. And he was like, how dare you ask her out for a coffee? I even asked him if that was a, you know, that if that was illegal. He said, "If it were not illegal, we would not have been here." That's what he told me. He tells me asking a woman out for coffee anywhere, not just in a hospital, but anywhere, that's illegal. If you ever do that again.
He actually said those words. He said asking a woman out is illegal.
He said that, yes. One of the junior cops, he later said to me, "You can ask a man to have a coffee with you, but you can never ask a woman to have coffee with you." That's what the cops told me.
Wow. Wow. Man, you got my head spinning, man. I mean, I've heard similar stories like this, but this one, man, is so fucking unbelievable, dude.
Unbelievable in, you know, the event, the series of events that occurred one after another. Because I actually kept thinking that someone sane and rational is going to come up at some point. I mean, there are so many people, at least one of them is going to be bound, it's bound to be sane and rational. You know? It turns out no one is. I mean, you can see it clearly. I can see it clearly. That, you know, I just asked her out for a cup of coffee. That's all I did. And they said that this had sexual undertones. Now, I mean, of course it has sexual undertones.
Yeah, anytime a man is attracted to a woman, there's sexual undertones. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, that's... Okay, now let me ask you this question. I know there was a very worldwide attention on India recently because they had some kind of gang rape incident in New Delhi.
That's correct.
Now, do you think this kind of somehow, directly or indirectly, has made people on, like, become highly sensitive and... Or would you say, even if that incident didn't take place, would you say this probably still would have happened?
This could have happened even before that incident. And I've heard stories similar to this from some of my friends. But I never believed them because I thought they must have done something else, really. I mean, someone is not good. No one is going to be that crazy to be, you know, insistent, hell-bent on destroying your career unless you really did something bad to them. That's what I told them. So they were not very close friends and I didn't really know them that well. They were just classmates and I heard their stories and I never believed them. But now more than ever, women have been given a lot of power over men. I mean, a woman can simply call up the cops and tell a man was harassing her simply because he's walking behind her on a footpath. On the pavement, and that has happened a couple of times, you know, in the last month. And no one reports that, and the media is completely going berserk, telling everyone that women are the victims, and they might be. That particular woman who was raped and murdered, she was the victim. There's no denying that, and the men who did that deserve the punishment. But I don't know who they are punishing. If they are encouraging, if they are discouraging straightforward behavior, are they actually encouraging the manipulative head games? Is that what they're trying to do? I think no one really here has a clue as to what they're trying to do. They are discouraging any sort of man-woman interaction unless you're married to that woman already. This is what people are doing right now.
Wow. Hey, I'm going to take an intermission break, but when I get back, I see some people in my phone queue that I'm sure either want to ask a question or make a comment of their own. I will get to you in just a moment. But first, I'm going to take an intermission break, and we'll come back with more about this most interesting discussion. So, don't go anywhere. Don't go. Oh, let me give you the number in case you want to call in. Again, there's some people who are already in my phone queue, but in case you want to call in, you're listening live, and you want to call into the show. The number is 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710, or you can do as my guest did tonight. I'm talking to my guest, the one you're listening to right now. He called in through Skype because he's in India right now. And so if you're an international listener or you just don't have a phone handy, you can actually call into my show. Blog Talk Radio has a setup where you can use Skype to call into the show. So there should be a button on my page where it says, just, you know, click on this to talk via Skype. But anyway, I'll be right back after this intermission break. So don't go, well, as soon as I can find the intermission. Oh, here we go. Okay, I'll be right back. You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Scores Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex with
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
for tuning in. It's nice to see you all again. So,
if you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome! And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls. If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you. He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from. Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister.
Okay. Yeah, well, I will see you.
You will?
Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the street. You know, chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the boot camp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... Just... What? Abby, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my open forum discussion topic, which asks the question, is it going to soon become illegal to approach a woman and let her know that you want to share her company in a romantic or sexual manner on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the number one most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. If you're just tuning in, I'm having the most interesting discussion with a gentleman that I'm not going to use his real name for the purposes of this episode. I refer to him as Lance. And what Lance has been sharing with my listening audience and myself is that he approached a woman in India. He lives in India. Approached a woman, let her know he was attracted to her, wanted to, you know, share a cup of coffee with her. And soon that led to her colleagues being involved, security being involved, the police being involved, and to the point where they actually conveyed to him that it was illegal for him to approach this woman. And I haven't heard a story quite like this from a person I know in the United States, but I've heard somewhat similar stories even here in the States. Where guys have told me
Well, actually, the last time I heard a story similar to this was actually on a message board. A guy in London, it was a guy from London, he said he had either a friend or a casual acquaintance that approached a woman in a mode one manner. If you're familiar with my book, you know what that means. Mode one manner would mean like very bold, upfront, straight to the point. He approached a woman, told her he wanted to, I think he told her straight up he wanted to have sex with her at some point. And like 5 to 10 minutes later, the security from this particular nightclub confronted him and said that the woman said he was harassing her, and which he denied. And I don't know if they kicked him out the club or he left on his own out of anger. But see, stories like this bother me because, number one, in any club I've been to, there has never been a sign on the wall that says you cannot approach a woman. There's never been a sign that says you cannot let... First of all, I've talked about this on a number of shows, and this is a... I almost want to write a... If I write another book, I want it to deal with sexual harassment. Because I hate that people use that word very loosely and inappropriately. A lot of women use the word harassment very, very, very loosely. Very loosely. To harass someone means to persistently make advances towards someone when they've already told you they're not interested. So, for example, if I see a woman in a coffee shop, and I go up to her and say, hey, my name's Alan, and she says her name is Linda, and I say, hey, Linda, you know what? We ought to share each other's company this weekend. And she says, no, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm just not interested. Now, if I leave her alone once she says, no, I'm sorry, I'm not interested, that's not harassment. She told me she wasn't interested, and I left her alone. Harassment would be if that woman said, Alan, I'm sorry, I'm just not interested, and I just stood there and said, oh, come on, come on, you know you want to hook up with me. Come on, let's hook up this Friday, you know. Come on, don't be a bitch. Come on, hook up with me. And I just kept asking her basically over and over and over again, even though she's already told me, no, she's not interested. That's harassment. That's harassment. Harassment is when you make repeated, keywords repeated, repeated and persistent advances towards someone when they've already told you, no, I'm not interested. But if you just approach a woman one time, let her know what your desires and interests are one time, and she says no, she cannot say legitimately that you have harassed her. Yet, in this country, and from what I've heard in a few other countries as well, a lot of people, and particularly in a workplace environment, a lot of people do actually consider that harassment. There's actually policies that if you ask a woman out just simply one time that you have harassed her, I think I will publicly on my show say that is bullshit. And you heard the emphasis in my voice. That is bullshit. If you're a person who works in human resources and you listening to me right now, I'm telling you directly that that is bullshit. Yeah, you can hear the passion in my voice. I have a strong, strong disdain for many of the sexual harassment laws in this country as well as some of the other countries I've heard about. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. Again, people do not define the word harassment very well. If you're not repeatedly making advances to someone, you are not harassing that person. Anyway, I want to get back to my guest, and then I want to take some phone calls. So, Lance, the cops told you it was illegal. So then they took you under arrest?
Yeah, they actually waited for the husband to arrive to file a formal complaint. and to write down, you know, they've got to write down on a piece of paper if they want to press charges against you. And so they made me sit down and wait. About 20 minutes later, the husband and the father of that woman, by the way, she was married, but I had no fucking clue that she was married. How could I know, right? I mean, she wasn't wearing any of the traditional Indian symbols to show that she was married. So I didn't know she was married. The husband arrives. He walks up to me. Without speaking a word, he slaps me in the ear.
Wow!
In front of like 100 people and the cops, who did absolutely nothing to stop him. Absolutely.
So he committed assault and battery in front of the policeman, and they didn't say anything.
They didn't say anything at all. They didn't even get up. I looked to them. I asked them to stop him. They didn't get up. No one stepped in. He actually tried to beat me. You know, it was my mother, I think, who stepped in. And I think he even pushed her around once or twice. But then, you know, when I started getting angry, maybe he backed off a little bit. I don't know why he backed off, but he did. And I told him that I didn't touch your wife. He said that, how dare you touch my wife? I said, I didn't touch your wife. I didn't even shake her hand. He said, how dare you molest her? I said, I didn't molest her. I asked her out. She said, no. Basically, he didn't calm down and went into the room after slapping me once and pushing me twice or thrice. Went into the room, shouting and hurling abuses in front of all these people in a medical complex. You know, he walks into the room, his father along with him, not his father, her father along with him, you know, that would be his father-in-law. And the father-in-law of that man or the father of that woman, he comes up to me and he tells me that he will cut me in two pieces. Literally, in front of all these cops, he tells me that he'll cut me in two pieces if I ever do that again to him.
Who said this?
The father of the girl.
So wait a minute. The father of the girl issued a death threat to you in front of cops.
That's correct.
Man, this is man, this is almost like unbelievable, dude. This is blowing my mind. Okay, I want you to pause right there because I've had some people waiting for a while. I'm going to my phone lines because I see some people in my phone queue. Let me start with area code 617. 617, I think I know who this is, but is this Valarco?
Yes, Alan.
Valarco, what's up, my friend? Now,
yeah,
Lance Valarco was born and raised in India. He now lives in the States, but he's from India. I don't know how long you've been listening, Valarco, but what are some of your thoughts on this story?
Oh, like, this is a very sensitive issue for me. I have a lot of anger towards some of these issues. Now, let me tell the listeners first that I'm living in Boston for the last 2 years. Before that, I've lived like most of my life, including a major portion of my childhood, in New Delhi, where the gang rape happened. First of all, like, one has to understand, like, when it comes to freedom of speech, India doesn't really have that concept. I mean, I see people get arrested for posting simple Facebook statuses about how much they don't like that particular politician because he's corrupt and shit like that. So it's like if in the United States, like, we have political commentators like Bill Maher and other comedians, you know, like, that shit won't happen in India because those people will get arrested. There will never be a George Carlin in India because that person will get arrested. So there is a freedom of speech issue that has been there for a long time. On top of that, Indian society can be divided into two cultures. Like, there are the rich people, the very elite people, and then there are the rest of the other people. Now, the rich people, the elite people, they go to clubs and they listen to American music, and they are kind of westernized, not totally westernized, but still very westernized. And those are the people who generally have one night stands and stuff. Now, being a musician, I'm a musician, so I got to perform for these people. So I got a sneak peek into their lives. And they are more casual than the other common folks. Now, the common folks are very, very conservative. It's all about arranged marriage, where their parents arrange for a bride and a groom to get married, which, in my opinion, is just rape. You arrange two people, like, to have sex and get married, and you don't even care if they like each other or not. Now, so, and when it comes to rape, it's just like rapes have been happening forever. It's nothing new. People just lost their mind this time. And according to rape statistics, there are lots of rape that happen in the United States too. But they are not blown out of proportion the way they are blown out of proportion in India. Because in India, when you live in like a very, very conservative environment, people love reading rape news. It's a very sick thing, but they do. It's psychology. Oh, shit, she got raped. I need to watch the whole news. You know? These kind of like things happen, and then they just blow it out of proportion. Everybody in the country has to know that that girl was raped. It can't be kept private, because like in United States, I don't see like shit like that in CNN, where people are like, oh, she got raped, and every whole country has to know. That doesn't happen. Plus, people are much more supportive in the United States about rape. Like, if a person gets raped, okay, they can be sent to therapy. Like, the whole family and friends are very supportive of her. And in the end, once she recovers, other people will date her and marry her and everything. In India, once the girl is raped, she's like kind of taboo. Like, only the rapist has to marry her. Nobody else would even touch her and look at her. So the whole concept, that's why kind of like goes like it's very touchy, and you know that I have been like learning about Mode 1 from you for a long time, and I have always had problems telling women the truth because I grew up in that environment. I grew up in an environment where if I'm standing at a bus stop and looking at a pretty woman, somebody will, and especially if there's a cop next, like, they will be like, why are you looking at her? Don't you have mothers and sisters at home? Why are you looking at her? Don't look at her. So women, I mean, women love, I don't know, I'm very sensitive about these kind of things. I feel like women love playing the victim card a bit too much. But even saying that is somehow very, very politically incorrect, you know?
Well, you know what's funny about that? There was a woman, and her name is on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it right now. But I mentioned it in my last book. There was a woman who wrote this book called The Manipulated Man.
Esther Villar.
Yeah. She wrote a book called The Manipulated Man. It came out years ago. She was, I would say, ahead of her time. Her book is, in its own respect, is almost loosely, indirectly similar to my latest book, The Possibility of Sex. But that's one of the assertions that she makes in her book is what you just said. She basically says that one of the ways that women manipulate men is by presenting themselves as the oppressed victim all the time. And what was interesting about her book and a lot of the opinions she expressed in her book, she actually received death threats when her book came out from, like, hardcore feminist types. They actually threatened her life for coming out with that book. But, yeah, the essence of her book is that, you know, women – For years and decades, they've always acted like they're the ones that have been taken advantage of and oppressed and abused and et cetera. And now she acknowledges that in certain instances, yeah, that's probably true that some women have been. But she says there are a lot of women who abuse men, not so much maybe in a physical manner, But in a psychological, emotional, and or financial manner, there's a lot of women who manipulate men, who take advantage of them. And that's what my book is about, the possibility of sex. That's one of the things I talk about, is how women use their beauty and sex appeal. Not all women. I never want to suggest it's all women. But there's definitely a good number of women who will use their beauty and sex appeal to get over on men, to get favors from them, to get money from them, to get job opportunities from them, and at bare minimum, just to get flattering attention and social companionship from them. But anyway, I kind of went on a little segue. As you were saying,
yeah.
Blarco?
Yeah. In fact, I have some friends back at home who are like in a layer group back in New Delhi. Just like we have like layer groups throughout the country, they have a layer group back in New Delhi where they meet with other men and try to improve their skills with women. Now, one of these layer guys, like, what he watched Sasha Degen's videos, and he was like, well, I'm just going to go and be honest with women. And he went to a mall, and he just approached a couple of women, hi, like, well, I just saw you, you were really cute and everything. He got the shit kicked out of him by the mob. He didn't get arrested, but he got the shit kicked out of him by the mob.
Where was
and
that?
In New Delhi.
Wow.
So, yeah, in India, basically, like, I've been looking at the way how you can seduce women in India. The only way of seducing women in India is basically seducing women who are in your social circle. That's and even there, like, you have to approach it very cautiously. You cannot be too straightforward with them. Even there, like, you have to use innuendos and whatever.
So, in other words, you gotta use the indirect approach, which I criticize.
Oh, yeah. It's in India. It's all mode two, and how mode two can you go? And that's how it matters. And also, like, I knew a couple of guys who were like, who got a lot of casual sex, one night stands, but those guys had like a typical routine. Like, they're first of all, they were pretty boys, they were good looking, and they would go to a club and they would drink and dance, and they would find other women who drink and dance, and they would hook up. That was probably the only way of getting casual sex. Or sometimes if you're a musician, after gigs, some women want to fuck you. But just like approaching and stating your sexual desires, oh, no fucking way. Like, even like Lance said, like, even like getting, like telling them, asking them for a cup of coffee is like somehow going to become controversial. I mean, looking at them is controversial. I was like standing at a bus stop sometime, and I was looking, and somebody was like, well, don't you have mothers and sisters at home? Why are you looking at her? Looking at her, you're like, you're a pervert if you look at her. That's what it has become. And now that I'm in US, I see like such a huge change. I mean, I've never been to Europe, so I don't know how sexually open-minded they are. A lot of people say they are. But compared to India, United States, such a big change. First of all, there is this free speech thing where, even if a woman gets pissed off, she's not going to all report me to the police. And I have this attitude that I don't give a fuck what you think. If you're offended, if you don't want to hook up, that's fine, I'll move on. But that doesn't mean that you're going to create a scene.
Now, Blarco, speaking of creating a scene, what do you think about Lance's account that this woman's husband came up and slapped him in front of the police, and they didn't do anything, and then the father basically, for all practical purposes, threatening to kill him or at least physically harm him, and the police didn't do shit. Is that customary of India?
I mean, yeah, why not? I mean, my parents like live in a place which is a little outside New Delhi, in a place called Gurgaon, which used to be a village. It's now a city. But, like, yeah, people always have, like, the police doesn't care about you. Like, police in Boston are, like, much more friendly and cooperative. In India, most of the police, first of all, is uneducated. These people are not very qualified police people. they are just like, they didn't make it to any other career, and now they just want to beat people up and put them in jail. Now they're the police. They don't know anything. They can't even speak English properly. So police, like the cops here and the cops there, are totally different people. And those people, like, corrupted to the core. And yeah, like, if a man comes and slaps lands and threatens, like, I was not surprised after hearing that. That shit happens in India. And so you got to be really, really careful. I personally, that's one of the reasons. I mean, I wanted to come to the U.S. and study music. That's why I left. But one of the reasons I wanted to get out of here, this was a very big reason for that. I just don't want to go there and live there.
Wow. Thank you for your input, Balarco. Going back to you, Lance. So one day, when they took you to jail, what did they say they were charging you on?
Molestation and harassment.
Molestation.
And harassment, yeah.
For asking a woman out for coffee, they charged you with molesting her.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. Now, can you hire attorneys to represent you in India?
Yes, I can, except as it happens, I'm not that rich. If I were, I would be in the United States right now. So in that sort of, I mean, if I had money, the cops would have sided with me anyway. They sided with the doctors because they assumed that those were the rich guys.
So there's a clear caste system in India is what you're saying.
It is. That's true. I mean, that's the harsh reality. And, you know, a couple of days ago, I was an idealist, and I thought that people deep down, they're all the same. But the last 2 days have changed my perspective so much that I don't believe that anymore. I used to think that deep down, everyone wants to be as good and as caring and loving. I mean, we have the same emotional needs. That is what you read in psychology. That's what you study. That's what you talk about, especially in the politically correct, circles of influence. They'll tell you that deep down everyone is the same. They've got the same emotional needs. They might have different programming, but deep down they all have the same needs and instincts. And you would assume men to understand, the basic instinct of going up to a woman and asking her out. That's what I expected all the men to do, or at least one sane, rational man to do. Not one of them took the charge of doing that.
Wow. Let me continue to go to my phone line. Area code 281-281, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your first name?
My first name is Michael.
Hey, Michael, I know who this is. If you've been listening for most of this discussion, what are some of your thoughts and input on this type of scenario that Lance experienced?
It's really unfortunate. I really feel for him. It's really sad. I had a similar situation happen to me. I mean, I wasn't thrown in jail or anything, but I was falsely accused of groping a woman, and the security guard, they escorted me out of the store. So that's what I experienced.
Okay, well, give me a little more details now. Of course, you and I know each other,
yeah,
and I'm familiar with this story, but since you are willing to call in,
yeah,
I want you to share just a few more details with my listening audience, because even though your story wasn't quite on par with what happened to Lance, for, I would say, by American standards, your scenario was very fucked up, too, at least in my opinion. When you told me about it,
yeah,
I was angry. Just like I'm angry about Lance's scenario, I was angry when you wrote to me about your story. So start from the beginning and tell my listeners what happened in your situation.
Okay. Well, last May, I went to the mall. I live in Houston, so I went to the Galleria Mall, and I went into Neiman Marcus, I believe, and I approached this woman who was working there, and I told her, I believe that we should share each other's company this weekend, or something to some variation of that. And as the conversation continued, she asked me what we were going to do, and I was straight up with her. I told her I wanted to have sex with her. So she thought that was really bold and everything. And during the conversation, she never, based on the body language and based on the conversation, I never got the impression that she didn't want to continue the conversation. She never verbally said, leave me alone or anything to that effect. She just continued with the conversation in a real flirty manner. So that's basically how the conversation continued. She even had a friend who I believe came to have lunch with her, and she told her friend about what I said. Her friend didn't think anything of it. So basically, at the end of the conversation, I wasn't really getting a straight answer about what her interests were. So what I basically did was write my number down, and I gave it to her, and I was like, you know, you call me if you're interested. So that was basically the end of the conversation. So I guess the only conclusion I can come to is that she went back and told somebody what I said, because the security guards, basically the security guards, they couldn't throw me out for saying, telling a woman I wanted to have sex with her. So they made up another accusation because they had noticed that I had been coming in the mall on a consistent basis, and I had been coming in that store. So one day I was leaving the mall, I was going down the escalator, and I noticed two guys behind me. And I turned around and looked at them, and they're like, we're going to have to ask you to leave the mall. And I'm like, why? For what? And they said, we've got reports that you physically groped or touched a woman. And I'm like, are you serious? I haven't done that. I haven't done anything like that. And they all said, we have it on video, too. So I was really hurt and traumatized by it because I was like, wow, this is crazy. So I told my mom about it because she also works in the mall. So we went back there to confront them. And basically, we talked to the manager, and the whole conversation was basically, they basically said, well, he went up to this woman, and he said he wanted to have sex with her, and yada, yada, yada. But what does that have to do with the particular accusation that you're talking about right now? You're not throwing me out of the store about this. You're saying that I groped somebody. And if that's the case, then why don't you show that and everything? Why don't you show that? If I grope somebody, why am I not in handcuffs right now? So, you know, I guess their objective was they didn't like me being in the mall. They didn't like me being in a particular store. They couldn't have me leave for any other reason, so they made up a reason, and to scare me or to keep me out of the store, and I guess they achieved their objective because I don't go back to that mall no more because I don't feel comfortable, and I've tried to go back in the past, but I just don't feel comfortable, and I stay out of there for that reason, so that's really all there is to it.
See, that's sad to hear. That's sad to hear, and again, stories like this just upset me. Even if I wasn't the author of the books that I'm the author of, this would upset me, but it upsets me doubly so because I encourage all my clients and students to be upfront and straightforward about their desires, interests, and intentions. And then you have women who will lie on you and make up stuff. Because again, I've had it happen to me, not on a regular basis, but here and there, I've had it happen. I give one incident. I remember one time when I was in graduate school, I had a classmate who, first we were talking about stuff to do with our course. And then I started being very X-rated with her and telling her basically that I wanted to fuck her. And at the time, she was giggling. She was like, oh, Allie, you're so bad. You nasty. And so we were talking. And if you had a videotape of the conversation, you wouldn't have thought that she was in any way bothered whatsoever. Now, fast forward to about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 days later, I run into a girlfriend of hers, basically. This one was like kind of her best friend in the program. And we were talking about something else. And then she's like, Alan, oh, you a bad boy. I heard about you. And it wasn't really lighthearted. Hers was more serious. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, I can't remember the exact words, but she started saying things that I didn't even do. Like, she said that the girl who I was talking to said, told her that I tried to grab her ass, which never happened, and said that I kept bugging her and saying, when can I come over your place and fuck you? Never happened. And, yeah, she basically took my conversation and modified. No, wait, let me rewind. I'm leaving out important detail. And this is crucial because this is what I find a lot of women do. And I think I told you this, Mike, but I'm going to tell it to you again for the sake of my listening audience.
Yeah.
I was walking down a hallway, and she was coming towards me with the same girlfriend. And I was with one of my buddies.
Right.
And I started, we were talking about something, and I started whispering in his ear. And I saw her looking at me with that look like, I wonder what he's telling him. Then, next thing I know, I talk to the girlfriend, and she tells me that this woman had made me look like I was some kind of, like, you know, impatiently horny creep or something. And see, what I believe happened, and I know I'm almost certain this happened, a lot of times when you have a provocative conversation with a woman, some women, excuse me, about to burp. Excuse me. Some women, they will tend to assume that you're going to kiss and tell to all your male buddies that you had an X-rated conversation with them, and that makes them fearful of being perceived as a, you know, a hoe or a slut. So to protect themselves, they'll make up shit to make you look bad. And it's just interesting. If I haven't had it happen to me, I've had it happen to another number of other people I know, including, you know, students and clients. But anyway, man, it's just sad that this woman is going to lie and say that you physically groped her when you didn't even lay a finger on her, huh?
Yeah, I didn't. And honestly, I don't know if that story came from her. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if I walked by another woman. I don't know where that came from. I don't know if I think they made it up themselves. I think the mom.
Oh, I know they did.
It just didn't make sense. It didn't make sense at all. And that's not the type of person I am. And for somebody to accuse me of something like that really hurt. But, yeah.
See, men, if you're listening, if you're a single heterosexual man, listen, and I'm not just doing this to shamelessly plug my books, but you gotta read The Possibility of Sex. If you haven't read my latest book, The Possibility of Sex, you gotta read it. I know it's biased for me to say, but it's a must-read book, because this book highlights why women do this kind of shit, like to Michael. I'm going to tell you exactly why. I'm going to give you an abbreviated version of why a lot of women will do shit like this. Because, see, what I basically say in the book is that a lot of women, not all women, I never like to say all women, but a good number of women, there are a good number of women out in society, they don't like to reject men. They just flat out don't. You would think if a woman's not interested in you that she would just simply say, you know, hey, I'm not interested in sharing a company. That would be end of story. But see, what happens is a lot of women get, and I always like to say the more manipulative types are the ones that like this. Women who have manipulative tendencies, and this is not just my opinion. I've had women actually tell me this to my face, the women I'm cool with. They've admitted this to me. So it's not just me talking out my ass. Women, manipulative women, they hate to reject men. Why? Because they know when they reject you that nine times out of ten, you ain't going to give them no more attention. You're not going to flatter them. You're not going to offer to wine and dine them. You're not going to allow them to share your company in a platonic manner, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't want that. They don't want that. So women like that, they hate when you're straightforward. And if you read, there's a story I talk about when this woman just flat out admits this during an interaction I had with a woman back in 1990. But that's why a lot of women don't like straightforward men who are straightforward with their desires, interests, and intentions. Like the woman in the story I describe in the book, she says, she told him, she looked me dead in my eyes. She said, I hate men like you. Because I told her straight up that I'm going to go ahead and tell at least a little bit of the story. What it was, I was going to visit a female friend of mine. She wasn't home, but her roommate was. And her roommate starts walking in front of me with just a bath towel on. At one point, she lets the bath towel drop to the ground so I can see her naked body. And so, because I was tired of her trying to distract me, I was actually on the couch reading the magazine, and she kept walking back and forth in front of me. Finally, I said, excuse me, what's your name? I can't remember my name right now. I'll say Desiree. She said, Desiree. I said, Desiree, come sit next to me for a second. I got to ask you something. She said, okay. I said, are we fucking? And she said, excuse me? I said, your excuse. I said, are you and I fucking? She said, no, I don't even know you. I just met you today. What do you mean, are we fucking? I said, okay, if we're not fucking, then you need to get in the bathroom, take your shower, and put some damn clothes on. And leave me the fuck alone. Let me read my magazine and wait for my friend. And she walked away in a huff. First, she went in the bathroom, kind of like semi-slammed the door. Then she came out. Then she went in again. Then she came out a second time. And finally, she said, I hate men like you. And I kind of chuckled. I said, why is that? She said, first she just said, because I just do. I said, no, give me some specifics. And she was real. And I liked her honesty, because a lot of women aren't dishonest. But she went on to be honest with me. She said, I hate men that straightforwardly tell women that they want to fuck them because you take the fun out of interacting with men. I said, okay, be more specific. What do you mean I take the fun out? I actually knew where she was going, but I kind of played the semi-dumb role. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I'm going to tell you something that most women won't tell you, but see, us women, we get a kick out of, like, toying with you guys. We love to tease men, toy with guys' heads. Basically, she was saying, we love to make men want to fuck us, knowing that we ain't going to give them no pussy. And she said, but see, a guy like you, who straightforwardly just tells us you want to fuck us, then you force us to either give in to your desires and reciprocate them, or you force us to reject you. And I said, exactly. And she said, see, I don't like that. She said, I don't want to be in a position where I'm forced to reject a guy. I said, if you're not interested in fucking him, why wouldn't you want to reject him? She said, because that ruins the game for us. Those are her words. She said, that ruins the game for us. She said, women, some of us women, we live for playing games with you guys. This was her word. She said, we live for playing games with you guys. Like we're all a bunch of chumps and shit. And that's why I wrote the book. That's why I wrote that book, because after Ooh Said Again, I said that was going to be my last book. But I said, I got to write at minimum at least one more book, because I've had so many interactions with these type of women. There are women, and I quote another woman in that book too, when you read, this woman I used to be in a church with in Los Angeles. She said, we're talking about something. We're talking about being in a church. We were in a strict church where you're supposed to be celibate until marriage. And it was interesting in that church, and I talk about this in detail in the book. One thing you'll find is interesting when you're in an environment where you're practicing premarital abstinence and celibacy, the table started to turn in that church. Normally in society, men are thought of as the hornier sex, the more sexually aggressive sex, and women are thought of as the ones who kind of just lay back. But in that, when I was in that church, the women actually were the sexually aggressive ones. They actually had to call a meeting one time of the single men in the church because they said it was instances of attempted date rape. And me and my roommates, we just naturally thought they were talking about some guys in the church tried to, you know, date rape some women. Come to find out, to our surprise, it was women. Some women in the church, literally, I'm not making this up, some women in the church had literally tried to date rape some guys. Because all the guys, we would be cool. Like, I speak for myself. I never tried to hit on those women in the church. When I was in that church, I never tried to fuck any of those women. Never. Never tried to fuck any of them. I had a bunch of women come on to me, though. Had a number of women come on to me. But anyway, I'm getting into a segue. But what I want to say, when I was in that church, this woman who left the church, I ran into her after she left, and we were talking. And she said something interesting. It relates to the other woman I was talking about. She said, Alan, I couldn't take being in that church. I said, why? She said, well, among other reasons, I didn't have no guys trying to hit on me. I didn't have no guys trying to get me in bed. I said, well, of course you didn't have no guys trying to get you in bed. We were in the church. We supposed to be waiting till marriage has sex. She said, see, Alan, you don't understand what it means to be a woman. She said, I'm the type, even if I don't want to have sex with a guy, I want a guy to try to fuck me. I always want a guy to try to fuck me. That was her word. She said, I always want a guy to try. Even if I'm not interested in that guy, I want a guy to try to fuck me. What is, Michael, I'm going to ask you, and Lance, I'm going to ask you, when was the last time you heard a man say that? When have you ever heard a man say that? Even if I don't want to fuck a woman, I want her to try to give me some pussy.
Never.
Men never do that. It's only women who are capable of doing that, ever.
Men, we don't think like that. We do not think like, I would never want a woman to want to try to suck my dick if I didn't want her to suck my dick. I just wouldn't. I would never tell a woman that. Even if I don't want a woman to suck my dick, I want a woman to try to suck my dick. Or even if I don't want to fuck a woman, I want a woman to try to get me to fuck her. You ain't gonna never hear a man say, men, we either want to fuck you or we don't. As simple as that. As men, we either want to fuck you or we don't. If we don't, we don't want you to try to give us any pussy. We don't want you to try to suck our dick. But that ain't how women are. Women, and again, I want to keep throwing out this disclaimer. I'm not saying all women, because women always come at me, Alan, you're generalizing. All women are not like that. Not saying all women, but there's a good number of women, a high percentage of women out here in society that like to just fuck with men. They like to just, I call them time wasters. Those are the women, and that's what I wrote, The Possibility of Sex. Because I divide all women into four categories, as Mike already knows and some other supporters know. But for those who don't, here are the four general categories I put women in. I find that a woman, at any given point in time, she's going to either be a reciprocator, a rejecter, a pretender, or a time waster. To give a brief description of each, the first two are pretty self-explanatory. Reciprocator, that would be a woman, and once you let her know what your desires and interests are, she will tell you that she has the same desires and interests that you do. That's a reciprocator. Any man who interacts with a reciprocator feel lucky, because that's usually going to always be the smallest percentage of women you deal with. Second group is rejectors. That's a woman, and once you let her know what your desires, interests, and intentions are, she's going to simply tell you, I'm not interested. I don't share the same desires and interests as you. I have respect for rejectors. I don't criticize them at all. If a woman's not interested in dating me, so be it. If she's not interested in sucking my dick, so be it. If she's not interested in me fucking her, so be it. I don't have a problem with that. So those two, I call those two the non-manipulative types, the reciprocators and rejectors. Now to get into the trickier, more manipulative two types of women, a pretender. A pretender, that's a woman that's going to initially, temporarily, or indefinitely for a number of days, weeks, or months, pretend like she's not interested in you, even though deep down she is. particularly as it relates to casual sex. A lot of women tend to be pretenders, particularly as it relates to casual sex, more so than, say, boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. Yeah, because a lot of women don't want to immediately acknowledge that they're into casual sex because they think that makes them look like a hoe or a slut, and women don't like to be perceived as a hoe or slut. So initially they will rebuff you. They will act like your approach was too provocative, too forward, too rude, whatever. But then later on, they'll end up giving you the pussy. If I haven't had that happen once, I've had that happen like 5, 10 dozen times. I mean, most of my Mole 1 seductions that were memorable were with women who were pretenders. I've had women curse me out on Monday and turn around on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday and give me the pussy. That's an example of a pretender. And then the final category, and it relates to the discussion tonight, is the time wasters. Time waster, that's a woman who will, if she's not interested in dating you or not interested in having sex with you, she's not going to tell you that directly. She's going to find some vague, ambiguous, beat around the bush manner. Ideally, she's going to try just not to say anything. And if you try to force her hand, she's just going to try to be vague and ambiguous. And a lot of times she's going to get angry when you try to force her to be specific. Because, again, manipulative-type women, these time-waster-type women, they don't want to reject guys. They really don't. They do not want to reject guys. I asked this question when I spoke in London. Some guys were talking about, you know, well, if you're too straightforward, a woman might have a negative reaction, whatever. And I asked men a simple question that made them raise their eyebrows and rub their chins and think about it. I said, think of a situation where you're the one who has something of value, but you get pissed after turning somebody down. Can you think of any scenario? Example would be like if I was to ask Mike on the phone here to borrow $500 and he said, no, Alan, I can't loan you $500. Who do you think would be disappointed and possibly pissed off? Him or me? Most people would say you, Alan, because you the one got turned down. Exactly. Why would Mike be pissed off that he couldn't loan me $500? If I asked Lance to borrow his car and he said no, why would he be pissed off that he can't let me use his car? And that brings me to women. If women are the ones we want to have sex with, and they're the ones that are basically holding on to this valuable piece of property between their legs, why the fuck would they be pissed when they not giving us what we want from them, sexual companionship? Why would they in any way, shape, or form be pissed off? Think about that. Think about that. I got a few other people in my phone queue, but Mike, thank you for sharing your story. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I'll definitely be in contact with you and, but, yeah, I appreciate you sharing that story because, see, it's not quite on the level of Lance's story, but in its own right, that's an eyebrow-raising story. And so, I mean, this woman just going to make up the fact that you groped her and you ain't even put a finger on her. So thank you for calling in. My next area code that I see is area code 609. 609, you know, up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your first name?
Yes, Kareem out of Jersey. Calling back.
Kareem out of Jersey. What's up, Kareem? I appreciate you continuing to listen to my show.
Man.
If you've been listening to most of this conversation,
mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts? What's your input about, you know, these type of scenarios?
Man, it's a bunch of bullshit with a capital bullshit, man. Like, from just hearing it, what's going on with Lance, like, I feel for him because that's just a messed up situation. Like, I've never been in a situation to that extent, you know, with some girl wilding out to that extent. But that's just, I really feel for him. But I attribute it to almost upper level social programming, in that it's almost like the erotic hypocrites and the stuff that you talk about in your book, but it's like full-blown social, like this full-blown social programming. So it's almost obscene for Lance to even try to approach a girl. Hey, would you like some coffee? I mean, that's being mode one. That's being general. That's being real and honest with his intention. But it's just that for that social program group, it's just radical for him to even try to, you know, do something that's just off kilter like that. So that's just the situation he was in. But my opinion of it is just like, damn, it's just the situation he's in. Everybody's so socially fucked that he's the wrong one, even though he's actually the right one, you know? So I just feel for him. I just feel for him, man.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got distracted. Kareem, I got some people write me. Yeah, man, it's really, it's just, you know, I say this. I would hate to see any guy become what's known as a misogynist, which is when you just right. develop a high degree of bitterness and resentment towards women. Mm-hmm. But at the risk of sounding like I'm defending misogynists, when you experience something like what Lance experienced or what Michael experienced and some other guys I know, it makes you tempted. Even though I would still say you shouldn't allow yourself to go into that zone, the misogynistic zone. But there is a part of me that says, damn, I wouldn't blame somebody for at least temporarily developing some misogynistic attitudes towards women when it results in shit like this. When they could have just, again, when a woman could just simply say, I'm not interested. I wrote an article about that. I write freelance articles on theexaminer.com, and one of my articles was about that. And it's funny, when I wrote that article, a lot of women gave me a lot of negative feedback on that. You would think the women would agree with it. I got a lot of negative feedback on the article. I wrote an article basically saying, it was to women, I was basically saying, if you're not interested in guys, just say so. Just say, I'm not interested in dating you. I'm not interested in fucking you. What's hard about that? And I got all this heated feedback from women on that article.
It's too easy. It's the drama they like about it. Like, that's something I've learned just throughout the research. Because, I've told you since pretty much a few weeks back that I'm just kind of new into this stuff. But I'm just picking it from everybody's point of view to figure out what's the best way to go about learning this stuff with women. And it's just like, in certain points of views, they specify how women, they just appreciate drama. So they like the feeling of gossip and drama and situations and games, while men are just more straightforward. So it's almost like women are like an ocean emotionally, in that they're just all over the damn place. And as a man, you got to come in there and just be the chip and just stare that bitch straight as you can. They're going to have waves, but as long as you stay sturdy, you're good. So that's just how females are emotionally like. And I'm going to go ahead and generalize. You don't have to, but I'm going to. They are all emotional creatures. Some are different temperaments than others, but, yeah, they are emotional. I may just be real about that. So, it is what it is. When we're going through what I've learned and my little experiences with women, yeah, they're all that emotional. It's just what you do and how you respond to it. So another quote I learned was that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So, if you want to look at it as bad and, man, my social situation is this and this happened, if you want to be misogynistic and then, hate all women because of that, that's because you chose to.
I'm glad you said that, Kareem, because that is a good point. And that is what I will say, that is what I point out in at least two of my books, and particularly Mo 1. I kind of borrowed this attitude from, I don't know if you're familiar with a guy named Stephen Covey. He wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he says that you always have control over your responses to situations and to other people's behavior. And so one of the things I do emphasize in Mo 1 is that as men, We always have control over how we react to things. So I'm not in any way, I want to make it clear, I'm not endorsing that any man allow himself to take up shop and sit in a comfortable chair in the misogynistic zone. But I was saying that I kind of empathize with those guys if they're only in there for that zone for 24 to 48 hours or so because of these manipulative women. Like, I don't know if you ever read the story, Kareem, but, you know, that woman back in 1990, she looked me dead in my eyes. She said, us when we, she basically said, we love to fuck with you all, you guys. We love, that's what we live for, is fucking with men's heads. I mean, what man have you heard ever say, we live for fucking with a woman's head?
Probably
I've heard men say, we live for fucking women, but not fucking with their heads. Shit, why would we want to fuck with a woman's head for? What the fuck do we get out of that shit? I want my dick sucked, or I want some pussy. I don't want to fuck with no woman's head. I don't get no shit out. I don't get nothing out of fucking with a woman's head. Anyway, thank you for calling in, Kareem. I appreciate you continuing to listen to my show.
Yes, sir.
And keep on listening.
Oh, yeah, you know it.
Next, I'm going to bring Belarco right back in because he wanted to make some final comments before he takes off. Belarco, what's your final summary of comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, like, now that I'm in the U.S., even though I don't like going to clubs, I sometimes go to clubs because my friend's birthday or something. And even my friends a lot of times don't approve me of being so direct with women because they're afraid that they'll kick us out of the club or something. So it's pretty weird. And I think it's only with, like, this generation it's something that's weird because... like, I know a few gay guys. Like, gay guys are very straightforward with each other. They don't bullshit and do all that stuff. I also know, like, a few, like, men who are, like, who used to be, like, the hippies in the 60s and the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And they told me, like, they used to be very straightforward with women, and women used to either, like, reciprocate or, like, it was much more open-minded. So sometimes I just feel like even in the U.S., like, where did it all go wrong? I mean, the thing that, like, baby boomers, like, they had sex, drug, and rock and roll. They had a lot of fun. But they didn't pass on that to the future generation. It all died somewhere, which I considered baby boomers very selfish for some of the same reasons. And for me, telling a woman, like, I want to fuck her or whatever, I want to date her, it's just like, I have this logic, like, isn't that what Jesus or Gandhi would do? Because you're just telling the truth. What's wrong with that? But, yeah, like, people are full of shit, and people have got to be careful. Like I hate to say that, but, yeah, like, boys got to watch their back. Because
yeah.
Women just love to play the victim's card, and I just feel like women's population, like, overall in the world is more than men's. They are more than 50%. Or even if, for argument's sake, let's say they are 50%. A 50% population cannot plead as victims or as a special interest group. They are not a minority. They are not a special interest group. They are just equals. And if they want to be equal, they better stop doing all this bullshit that they keep doing. I mean, I remember you talking about, like, a few minutes ago about being temporarily misogynistic. I have been there. Like, I've been frustrated. And I was thinking, you know what? We should all just earn a bunch of money and go to prostitutes. It's just so much less hassle. It's true. I mean, they have all, like, this whole double standard. It kind of kills me because I've had people criticize me all the time. I had people criticize me saying some bullshit like, Belarco, you're too honest. What the fuck does that mean? Like, there's no such thing as too honest. You're either honest or you're not.
Exactly.
And if somebody is honest, then I don't understand where the fuck the problem is. I never touch a woman. I never touch them without the permission. And when it comes to making up stories like somebody molested her or something, I just feel that a lot of women actually believe the shit they make up. So they somehow believe that he was trying to touch her. Because she has some sort of programming in her that makes her believe that. And people just need to, like, stop this bullshit. Sometimes I'm optimistic, like, I think this is a dark period and we'll get over it. And I'm only talking specifically about the U.S. India has a long way to go. Like, long way to go. I mean, India is actually stabbing itself in the foot right now. Because what happens is, like, people think that, like the concept of feminism is fucked up, in my opinion. Like, you have the right to wear skirts, but if we look at you somehow, that's a crime. How is that going to solve anything in the society? It's not. It's a bunch of bullshit. So I just feel like women, rather than progressing, are actually going backwards by being more reserved. And somehow this has become like a gender war shit, which it shouldn't be happening. And yeah, and I just feel like someday things are going to improve and people are going to be more honest, at least in the U.S. Because like sometimes there are dark times and then there are good times and then there are dark times. It's like a cycle, in my opinion. So if these are dark times, I hope that someday good times come. That's how I would end it.
Okay. That's well said. All right. Well, thank you as always, Belarco, man. Much love to you. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
I'm going to take a couple more calls, and then I'm going to do my final intermission of the night. I got another international call in addition to Lance. He's from India. I got a friend named Dimitri who has his own story from Moscow. Dimitri, if you don't mind, I'm going to hold off on you for a few minutes. I want to talk to you when I come back from the intermission, but I'm going to take a couple of quick calls that I see in the phone queue that are hopefully quick. One is an internet call. It doesn't have an area code, just 1111. Area code 1111. Your mic is now open. You're up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your comment?
Yeah, hey, Roger, how you doing? Are you speaking to me?
Yeah, okay. This sounds like Mr.
You're damn
Solution.
Right it is. This is Mr. Solution. Look.
I know you always get thoughts on a lot of stuff I talk about. What's your thoughts on tonight? I don't know how long you've been listening, but what's your thoughts on tonight's discussion?
Yeah, not long, but we are right where we should be. I'm a men's activist and a father's and men's rights advocate. And I notice here, just reading your heading, is flirting with women and approaching them becoming illegal. Yes, I'm reading a ball-busting bitch whom you know, just like I do, calls herself a black feminist. Uh-huh. She has suggested this for a long time. This is a legal battle. This is a socio-legal battle. And I'm going to ask you to invite me. I won't come unless you invite me to invite me on your show, because I'm going to talk about this in a way that very few other people can and are able to. This is what it has come to, and men have created this situation because they have created this unilateral situation of approaching women, and now women are taking action. Why? Because they can. And I'm okay with this because, see, it's a situation where men should have said long ago, hey, we're equal, and I'm pretty sure you heard about the Joint Chief of Staff and also the Secretary of Defense lifting the ground combat restriction on women. A lot of guys don't get what that means. That means you are no longer the exclusive protector of women. And in 1963, when the Equal Pay Act was passed, that meant that you were no longer the exclusive provider for women. So that provider-protector status is not legally enforced. But you allow it to be with your dysfunctional behavior, that is, men. And so, yeah, women are taking action against your ass. And I think this is great. Why? Because women are entitled, and they can do any damn thing they want to do. Men don't state what they want from women. And so women are taking this particular approach because it's a power play, Alan. That's what it is, a power play. And they're going to lock your ass in legally because that's what they are attempting to do. So I think this is an excellent conversation, but unless men go into the huddle and stop being stupid and come up with a plan that will advance them appropriate yardage, their ass is going to find themselves up in a lot of trouble, okay? And that's what's happening. Women are manipulating the legal system. And it's just a bullshit power play. That's all it is. Because, now, I love women, and I love exclusively women. But the point of it is American women and America has become a proving ground for bitches. And what our simp guys have done is allow women to pull the power card and not have this on an equal basis. Women should be approaching. That diffuses the situation entirely. It's like a base to an acid, or should I say an alkaline to an acid. It neutralizes it. But as long as guys consider it their purview and their exclusive prerogative, they're going to get trumped. And like I say, the book by Dr. Warren Farrell, The Myth of Male Power, The Myth of Male Power, that is a very, very important book, and it is absolutely the spearheader of the men's movement because it talks about the male-female paradigm or dynamic. And so that's basically, that's the gist of it, is men are going to have to say to women, hey, we've got to meet, you have a responsibility, just as I do. That diffuses the situation. Otherwise, your ass is going to end up in handcuffs, and rightly so.
Uh-huh. Okay, Mr. Solution speaks. Thank you for your input, sir.
Absolutely.
Dimitri, like I said, I'm going to come right back to you right after I take this intermission break. And Lance, I haven't forgot about you. I want to, you know, talk to you some more before we wrap up for the night. So right now, I'm going to take this intermission break, and I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward in Low One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's only 51%. Yeah.
There's more what? Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
So the listeners know that the letter in my first book Let a true young brother manifest your destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it. Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my open forum discussion topic, which asks the question, is it going to soon become illegal to approach a woman and let her know that you want to share her company in a romantic or sexual manner on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. And if you tuned in late, you know, I've been having a lot of lighthearted discussions and interviews probably over the last month and a half, 2 months. But tonight's discussion is anything but lighthearted. What the main discussion topic, I'm speaking with a guest who I'm not using his real name. I've been referring to him as Lance. He lives in India. And what happened was he approached a woman in a hospital that he thought was attractive, and he just invited her out for a cup of coffee. He didn't say anything X-rated or, you know, particularly provocative. He just, you know, told her, you know, he wanted to share a company. And instead of her just simply saying, you know, oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm not interested, she told him to get lost. Then she told her colleagues, and it led to security getting involved, police getting involved. He was accused of molesting this woman and taken to jail for... Lance, how many hours were you in jail?
About 6 or 7 hours.
6 or 7 hours. Wow. Now, how did you finally get out of jail?
Well, actually, my mother, she called up all the relatives, my uncles and aunts, and they came together and they hired a lawyer and they bailed me out. They had to pay a bail to get me out of there. So that's how I'm out. I'm out on bail right now.
Wow. So in other words, you still got to go to court.
That's right. I've got a lot of money on the line and I'm probably going to lose all my life savings since I don't have much. I'm going to lose it all. And I'm going to lose a lot of time. And the worst thing is they're going to confiscate my passport. I think they already have. They've confiscated my passport, and I cannot travel anywhere now. I'm stuck here.
But you can't leave the country.
I can't leave the state. I can't leave the city now.
Wow. Get the fuck out of here. All because you asked a woman out for coffee.
That's right. That's right.
That is... Man, that fucking blows my mind. Woo! Wow, man. I feel for you, dude. Man, I'm gonna try to think of a way I can help you. I don't know if there is any way I can help you in the States, but man, this bothers me so much, man, that I'm gonna be thinking about it for days, weeks, and months ahead, man. We're gonna have to stay in contact, and you're gonna have to keep me posted on new developments with this, because this I ain't gonna lie, it angers me to the highest degree. This is a case of women having way too much power. Wow. Anyway, right now I promise to bring in another caller who shared with me on Facebook that he's had one or two similar scenarios, and he's also an international person. He lives in Moscow, Russia. Dimitri, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me well, Alan?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Thank you for calling into the show, and thank you for being willing to share your thoughts and opinions and stories of your own. Now, what have you experienced that's in some way similar to what Lance is going through?
You know what? My props to I don't know if I can say props, but so my sympathy to Lance, and I hope things are going to get well for him. This actually, what I was talking about, happened in Greece last summer. There was that beach bar, and there were two waitresses, and one of them was Greek, and another one was Albanian. And I was attracted to one of the waitresses, and during the day I just came into the bar and I asked her for a drink. And then I told her that her ass was sexy. And she was like, she didn't have any problem with it. She was like, okay, thanks. And so smiled. But later that night, or maybe the next night, me and a couple of other buddies who were married, but their wives went to bed, and we just hung out in that bar. And those two waitresses, they finished working, and they were sitting at the table waiting for some kind of guy to come and pick them up on his car to give him a lift. And the guys I was with, they knew that I was attracted to one of the girls, one of the waitresses, and they just kind of motivated me to approach. It's like, come on, they're waiting for you. And I just came to the girls. I was attracted to the Albanian one, and I don't know if I can tell. I was smoked one, but I just said it like this. I said to the Greek girl, like, I find your female friend very attractive, and I want to have sex with her. And Greek girl just kind of freaked out a little bit, and she's like, go back to your buddies. She just waved with her hand, and I'm like, you know, the only place women can give me orders is in the bedroom. And then I turned to the Albanian girl, and I'm like, are you interested? I want to have sex with you this night. How can we make this happen? And she's like, I have a boyfriend. She was pretty cool with it, but she didn't say, she was not interested, but she just said she had a boyfriend. And then just remembering one of your, Alan, phrases, I said, does he satisfy you? Does he lick your pussy? And she was like, turned red and said, oh, yes, kind of. But then she said she had a baby. And I'm like, okay, show me the pictures. And she showed me the picture. And I left it at that, and I left them. I walked away. I didn't persist further. But the funny thing is, next day I came to this hotel restaurant, the same hotel restaurant, and I approached a maitre d', and because I wanted to get my a la carte restaurant reservation. And after he made a reservation, he's like, those two girls from the bar, they told me that you kind of used them, and you were speaking impolitely with them. I'm like, okay, what did I say to them that was impolite? And he's like, well, you told them that you wanted to have sex with her, with them. I'm like, no, not with them, with one of them. And I'm like, what's wrong with this? She said no. She answered no to my proposition, and I left her alone. And he's like, But then she said that you told her, show me your pussy. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, that's a lie, man. They lied to you. And I can say he was, you know, totally serious, but there was some kind of father-son frame. He was, like, patronizing me, like, trying to prevent me from getting in trouble. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, they lied, but I just propositioned her, and she wasn't interested. And he's like, you should have just asked her for coffee. I'm like, oh, man, when you talk to a wife, do you ask her for coffee? Every time you want to have sex with her, you know, I didn't want to drink coffee with her. I wanted to have sex with her. And okay. She's like, okay, do you want to say something? Say something? No? Okay.
Well, you know what's funny, Dimitri, that you said the guy said, why didn't you just ask her for coffee? Because that relates exactly to Lance's situation.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually what Lance asked for. He just asked for the woman to join him for coffee. And he got arrested.
Yeah.
He didn't tell her he wanted to lick her pussy or fuck her or put his dick in her mouth. He just said, I want to, you know, get together with you and have some coffee. And he fucking got arrested.
Yeah. So, can I continue? So, then he said, what if her boyfriend comes and, you know, gets aggressive and kills you? Like, we don't want this to happen. If you do this again, I'm going to have to call the tourist police, you know, the tourist police. And so I'm like, come on, man, this is not serious. This is not serious. So I kind of left it at that. And so then, actually, I was with my mom on the vacation. And she was like, I'm going to, like, punch him for threatening you like this. What, you didn't do anything wrong. Well, the funny thing, Al, is this next day, I was almost with the same guys, but there was another guy who claimed to be, you know, the most alpha, and he actually picked up physically that waitress. I wasn't hitting on her anymore, of course, but he picked up her physically, and she was okay with this. She was very obedient, and she was submissive, and he, like, set her on the chair nearby, and she didn't have any problem with this. I'm sure she wouldn't tell later to anyone that she was, you know, molested or abused or something. You know, the funny thing is, I think the whole issue comes with if you're congruent with what you express. Because I think of myself as pretty intelligent, you know, maybe even a nice guy. So I come from a very nice guy background. And I just occasionally, I've done some freaky stuff in my life, like, you know, like Bill Leslie in the movie, like basically, and I almost got in trouble for that. But for just expressing my sexual interest, I don't know. I think it's an issue of being congruent, and I don't think I'm totally congruent with what I do. And maybe it's when women see you're not very sure of what you do, and you're not very comfortable with expressing your sexual interest. That's when they you know, get freaky and get drama and accuse you. That's what I want to say.
Well, your voice kind of faded out in the last few seconds. Say that last part again.
I think it's the, can you hear me well now?
Yeah, you sound better now, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I think it's the issue of whether you're congruent with communicating your interest. If women see that you're not incongruent, that you're kind of not sure if it's okay to ask to express your sexual interest, that's when they get when they make up stuff and they accuse you and they badmouth you.
I actually agree with that. I've actually told guys that before. Is that, like, when guys, particularly when guys ask me about, you know, because I've had a lot of X-rated, triple X-rated approaches, and guys say, you know, Alan, I'm kind of scared to say anything really provocative to a woman. What gives you the ammunition to, you know, be that way with women? I say, here's the thing. I say, once something leaves my mouth, I own it. I don't apologize for shit I say. I don't back down from shit I say. I always tell guys, if you say something that you think you might be even remotely tempted to apologize for later on, then simply do not say it. But once something comes out your mouth, you got to own that shit. And along with that, I tell them basically what you just said is that you – oh, I say this in my third book, Ooh, Say It Again, Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction. I say never talk to a woman in an X-rated manner with a hesitant, cautious, or non-confident demeanor. Mm-hmm. That's when a woman's going to eat you alive.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to a woman about something to do with fucking and having sex with her, you have to be extremely self-assured, straight to the point, and you can't give any hints that you would be willing to back down from anything you're saying or apologize for anything you're saying. You got to have that attitude like, I'm saying X, Y, Z. I stand behind what I said. And if you don't like it, so what?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I am when I talk to women.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But that's actually a process you have to come through, because no one gets confident from the first couple of approaches of mode one. And I'm a pretty emotional guy. No emotion, but just okay. You get me. you have to be like, even if you my question to you, even does it also applies to situations when you don't go like triple X rated or X rated? If you just say, I want to share your company next weekend, of course you have to be pretty much confident, but does it also apply that you have to be bold and very confident? So let me rephrase. Will you get in trouble if you be nervous saying stuff like this if it's not triple X rated or X rated?
Will you as a man get in trouble for saying something X-rated to a woman while being nervous?
X-rated or even PG-13 rated.
Well, see, women, if you read Mode 1 thoroughly, towards the back of the book, I say this about women. I say in the same way that when you're in grade school as a guy, you tend to at times deal with other guys who want to come across as the classroom bully. Well, I say in my book that you have a lot of women who have that same attitude. There's a lot of women who, for lack of a better way of putting it, they want to punk men.
Yeah.
They want to see if they can emasculate you. They want to see if they can take your balls away from you. And once you give them a sign that they can, you're dead meat in the water. You're dead meat. Once you give a woman a sign that she can basically verbally and or psychologically emasculate you, you are fucked with that particular woman.
Mm.
Number one, you have no chance whatsoever getting her in bed, with the exception of maybe you paying her a lot of money.
Yeah, you just reminded me of something. The same guy, the Maitre D', he told me that if you apologize or if you you have to say sorry for what you said, I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I'm not going to say sorry. I didn't do anything wrong. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. Yeah, there was another instance, like in Turkey, when I approached a girl in the hotel garden during the nighttime, and she threatened to call the guards. But I'm just, why bother calling guards if you just can say no? That would be enough. Of course, she didn't call him. So, luckily for me, only I've been threatened to call guards the most up to this point. Can I say a couple of words about Moscow?
Yeah? Go ahead.
What we have here. So, actually, I remembered about this. Initially, I was attracted to this topic because you mentioned about India, and I remembered about European countries as as the situation that they find guys there in Belgium or France, if they approach women on streets and express even mode three interest, like I have an apartment, let's go and drink some tea, for example, or drink some wine. Maybe it's mode one. Okay. So, in Moscow, I think we're pretty open-minded to this, and I have never thanks God, gotten in trouble for expressing my sexual interest, legal trouble. But there's a couple of girls that created this video, and basically they filmed themselves being approached by guys, and the point of this video was to show how Russian guys are not polite and how they're, you know, cavemanish, I don't know, this aggressive, and that they can't get a clue that the woman doesn't want to be approached. And what these women did is that they didn't say, I wasn't interested. So they continued to either indirectly, you know, tell that they were not into it, or they continued to tease guys. Like one of the guys said, oh, nice ass. And she's like, what is this? She started harshly criticizing the guy, but she never say she wasn't interested. And the point of this video in the end was to, like, okay, people look at this, like, guys are impolite, they are aggressive, they annoy us, and we should have in Moscow the same law, same punishment, same fines for, you know, apply to guys who approach women on the streets. And so I just didn't like this, the whole idea. Why can't you just be honest and say that you are not interested? But that's it.
Okay. Well, of course, I appreciate you communicating with me from Moscow. I know it's early in the morning, I think, where you are. And but, yeah, it just shows that you being from Moscow, my other guest tonight being from India, it goes to show you that this is these type of scenarios are a universal problem. Mm-hmm. And my friend Richard, who called in, who goes by the name Mr. Solution, one of his points was, and tends to always be, is that we as men deserve a lot of the blame, because we have over the years, over the decades, we have given women too much power. We have allowed them to have too much power in many ways. And I know I'm going to get a lot of blowback from women when they listen to this, but it's the truth. I mean, women in forget the workplace. Initially, women just wanted equal rights in the workplace, but socially, romantically, sexually, I put some of the blame, like Mrs. Lucian, I put some of the blame on men, because one area, I tell you, I put a lot of blame on men. A lot of men, this is why I hate when I see men, when they run across a really gorgeous woman, having that attitude of, oh, I'd do anything to sleep with you. Ooh, I'd do anything. See, that's giving a woman too much motherfucking power. When you telling a woman you'll do anything to fuck her. Oh, baby, tell me what you need. I'll give you whatever bracelet, whatever jewelry. I'll pay whatever amount of money. Like, when I lived in L.A., there were guys I either met like that or women would tell me about like that. Like, when I used to work at the movie studios, a lot of women would tell me guys would offer to pay their rent or mortgage, offer to pay their car note, just for a piece of ass. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, so now you got all these women walking around with these big heads, egotistical heads, because they know they can get guys to jump through hoops just to smell their pussy. You know, not even to fuck it, just to smell it.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I've had a woman. No. Can I? I've had a woman like this, and she's a pretender. Or I'm not even sure if she's a pretender. Maybe she's a time waster. Alan, is it a pretender or time waster if she has fucked with a guy, played games with him for about a year, and she told me that then she slept with him, even though I know, or she admitted that she has casual sex like the first night she meets a guy. Is it a pretender or a time waster?
A pretender is a woman who's going to initially, temporarily, or indefinitely act like she's not interested in you, but eventually she's going to end up acknowledging that she does have some type of romantic or sexual interest in you, and ultimately she will end up sleeping with you. That's a pretender. Time waster is almost just the opposite. Time wasters, are one of two types of women. Either women who initially act like they are interested in you, but when you really try to make an advance on them, that's when they're going to let you know that they really are not interested. Or second variation of a time waste is a woman who doesn't necessarily start off acting like she's interested in you, but she just never specifically makes it clear that she's not interested in you. She doesn't specifically reject you because she doesn't want to. And like I was saying that early in the conversation, I noticed a lot of women, what I call the more manipulative type women, that's how they are. I mean, I've had women who I'm cool with that have admitted that to me. A lot of women, they do not like to specifically reject guys. And the main reason, again, being because a lot of manipulative women's attitude is, why would I want to reject Dimitri when I can make him think that if I give him some pussy, he's going to treat me to dinner at a 5-star restaurant?
Yeah.
I would rather him treat me to dinner, then let him know I'm not interested in him, than to let him know I'm not interested in him before he even offered. See, a lot of manipulative ones, they want to first see what you're going to offer to them.
Yeah.
Are you going to offer them something tangible, such as money, employment, dinners, or maybe are you going to offer them something intangible, such as flattering attention, platonic social companionship? It's not until you let them know that I ain't going to offer you shit that that's when they'll go ahead and be straightforward and say, okay, well, then I ain't interested in you. But if they think they can get something from you, then they don't want to reject you. They don't want to reject you. And that's what I talk about in my latest book. Do you have a copy of The Possibility of Sex?
Yeah, I've read almost all of your books.
Possibility
of Sex. Who's here to go? Thanks. Yeah, you know, a lot of spoiled women in Moscow, unfortunately, and I've come to contact to many spoiled women. They can't just get this in their reality that you're not going to treat them, wine and dye them. And long before I've known Mode 1, I used to know the girl who was a classic, you know, a possibility of sex kind of girl, so time waster. And she almost wanted to bait me into to make me buy her this blouse, and she started hinting on it, and I played like I didn't get it, and so of course I realized what she was up to. But later I just called her and said, "Are we having sex like next Saturday?" And she's like, "Well, you only think about yourself." And I'm like, "So do we have or do we not?" And she didn't give me the right answer. So she didn't give me the definite answer, and I stopped contact with her. And we're still kind of, you know, buddies up to this day. Of course, I don't hang out with her socially. But I sent her, you know, like your video of Mode 1 when you talk about four types of women. And I'm like, listen to this. you're going to like this one. Of course, I didn't tell her directly, but she knew what I was up to. And, yes, a lot of women like this. Actually, Ellen, you won't believe I have actually had a woman online tell me that I have to be more confident after I used Mode 1 with her. So, long story short, I met this woman online on one of the dating sites, and she provoked me to use Mode 1. So, initially, I started being Mode 2, like asking questions. Of course, I was interested.
Dimitri, can you hear me? There's one thing I want to point out to you, that Mode 1, as I understand it, it's not a method, it's a mindset. It's a mindset that you have and that you are. It's who you are. I mean, it's not necessary that everyone is Mode 1 by default, but that is how we as men strive to be in business, in world, in life.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if you can just use Mode 1. You know, that's not even Mode 1 if you're trying to show a method. I'm just pointing it out to you.
Okay.
Because it just sounded to me like you understand that this is a method. I mean, this is an attitude. You understand that. But
yeah,
it sounds to me that you obsess over the women who may not necessarily be interested in you, when really Mode 1 is all about being straightforward and then moving on with your life.
Thank you for commenting.
I mean,
this.
I may be wrong here, and I'm not the expert. Alan is. So maybe he'll chime in and say something about
Well, what you said is true. I have to reiterate that with a lot of guys is that, yeah, a lot of guys do tend to many times treat Mo 1 like it's a quote-unquote seduction technique, but it's not. Like you said, it's, yeah, I tell guys all the time, Mo 1 is an overall mindset that you maintain literally in, I would say, from now until the day you die. I mean, you know, it's not something you use like you say, okay, on Friday night at the club, I'm going to be Mo 1, and then it's Saturday night at my buddy's party, I'm going to be Mo 1. But then other days of the week, I'm going to be, you know, Mo 2 or Mo 3. No, you got to be Mo 1. It has to be in the fiber of your being. Dimitri, I'm going to give you a couple minutes to wrap up, because actually we're running out of time. I only got about 5 more minutes before my show cuts off, so if you could kind of wrap up your thoughts in roughly about 2 minutes, what would they be?
Okay, first let me reiterate what I was saying. I didn't think of it as method, but just I started being curious about her, but I didn't express my interest because I was not sure if there was any interest. First, my interest was long-term sex, I would say this. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to have long-term sex with her because before I asked questions. So that's why I kind of labeled it as I was mode 2, but of course I was mode 1, and I was honest about my intention. But she started criticizing me, and I'm like, can't you just say yes or no? And she went as far as deleting her account from the website and telling me, you should be more confident. You should assume a woman wants to have sex with you instead of just pushing her to say yes or no. That's what her idea was. Well, to wrap up my thoughts, yeah, I agree. That's a mindset, but it takes a while to, adopt it. And I think it's about being too honest. And most women will tell you that you don't need to be too honest with them, that you need to lie to them, that you will get in their pants much sooner if you just lie to them, if you, you know, create an atmosphere, if you just be conventional and don't be too honest, because being too honest, like, doesn't work. That's what they say.
You know what's interesting, Dimitri, about what you just said? I actually had a client of mine tell me, he lives in Europe. This is deep. His own mother told him that she was against Mole 1. She said, son, if you want the honest truth, the best way to get in women's pants is to lie to them, make them feel like you want to be in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship with them, but then once you have sex with them a handful of times, whatever, then you just create a reason to dump them. Mm. And I was like, wow, your mother told you that. He said, and he admitted, he said he was disappointed in hearing that from his own mother. Basically, his mother was telling him to engage in manipulative head games. Mm. But she basically felt like being Mole 1 would come across as too forward, and so I found that very interesting. That you would think a woman's mother, the last thing they would want their son to do is play games with women, but his own mother was encouraging him to play head games with women.
Mm. You know what my mother? Excuse me, I interrupted you. What my mother tells me, like, be honest, but what, don't you think that women can get scared if you just be straightforward on the first day that you want to have sex with her? The woman is not even sure if she wants to have sex with you yet, or can she be scared if you approach like that boldly? Like she will be freaked out and she will be scared because she's not sure if she wants to have sex with you, and most important that she has not invested in you enough to know, to rationalize it if she wants to have sex with you. This is one of the issues I also want to very quickly mention, that a woman doesn't feel she has done something to earn your sexual interest. This is kind of what FJ Shark once said, that a woman has to earn your sexual interest. And this is why I kind of have slight criticism of Mold One, if you allow me to express it.
You know what? On that note, I hate to cut you off right when you're going to criticize my philosophy, but I'm literally, in like 2 minutes, they're going to cut down, shut up my show. So I want to first give Lance a minute or so to give his final thoughts. We probably gonna have to do a continuation show in the upcoming weeks, because even though we've been on the air for about 3 hours, I can see this is a hot button topic needs to be talked about. Lance, in about a minute or so, what's your final thoughts about your situation?
My final thoughts are that I need to protect my own resources right now, my own time, my own money, and that's the only thing that takes precedence over everything else. That's the practical side of it. The theoretical side of it is that as far as the Indian women are concerned and as far as the society that I'm living in right now is concerned, the juice is just not worth the squeeze. I'm not willing to compromise who I am in terms of being indirect and basically, forgive me for saying this, but being a pussy in disguise, that's not who I am. I don't do that. I'm very honest about everything I want, and I've never apologized for my desires, and I won't. So maybe I'll need to get out of here before I actually even start sleeping with women again. I don't know. That's fine. If that's the price I need to pay, I'll pay it willingly and gladly. But I'm not willing to change who I am for the worse. For the better, sure. But changing myself into a manipulative man is not changing myself into a better man, and I'm not going to do that.
I heard that. Well, on that note, Lance, hey, I want to thank you greatly for coming on my show and sharing this very personal story with not only me but my listeners. I'm going to stay in contact with you. I want you to keep me posted on developments. And like I said, there's a possibility I'm going to do a follow-up show, you know, in a few weeks about your situation. You know, hey, man, may the divine power in your world look over you and bless you. And you have a lot of integrity. And I really hate that this has happened to you. But I do think there's a divine power that watches over all of us. And I think it's watching over you and it's going to make sure that no further harm comes to you. Listeners, thank you for tuning in tonight. For what ended up being a 3-hour episode. Join me next week when I have a new topic, new discussion, new guests. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I will see you next week.